In 1983, what we knew had to come finally came, and the leadership of the Bakersfield Church passed from the hands of Brother Terry to Brother Frost. Brother Terry's tenure as pastor, decades in duration, was a memorable time in the Bakersfield Church. He was such a unique character that we were fearful of the immensity of the task that would come from trying to follow such a unique and, to be frank with you, eccentric character. But Brother Frost immediately assumed the reins of leadership in the Bakersfield Church, and our fears were soon assuaged when we saw the smoothness of the transition and the continuum of the Spirit and the doctrine and the truth that we all were raised in. And we have delighted to see the continuation of the Bakersfield Church in the ways that we found so endearing through the ages. Brother Terry was a giant. It's not easy to follow giants, but Brother Frost is a giant in his own right, and we appreciate what has transpired in the last 25 years in the Bakersfield Church. To the old crowd that comes back after years of being gone, we always look around and try to see the old faces that we've known from our youth. And, of course, by now those faces are starting to become less numerous. And we see people that we've never known, never seen before. And we rejoice in the revival that's taking place in the Bakersfield Church. And we rejoice in the leadership that we see in the Bakersfield Church. Instead of there being a calamity, there has been revival. Instead of there being trauma, there has been a smooth transition. And we appreciate deeply the way this church has been an influence for godliness for the last 65 years.
It's going to mean more to you as the days go on than anything else in the world. Praise God. Don't forget service tonight. Church will be open early for prayer. And I believe the choir will be practicing early, 5:15. And you need to come by the house of the Lord early and pray. During the week, I can understand some things because we do start at 7. Those of you that get off late, 5 o'clock or after, it really makes it difficult to get everything done and get here, especially with two people working in the family. I can understand all that. But every effort needs to be made. Touch the throne of grace before every service, not just for yourself, but for others also. Every service counts today more than it ever did before. We don't have that many services left. 100 years ago, if you could count the time and you knew that it was going to be 100 years, you could have said you could have a lot of services. But today, I cannot tell you how much I feel that our time is short. We don't have a lot of services to get it done. And every service needs to count. Needs to count for you. Needs to count for your family. It needs to count for your friends. It needs to count for the church. It needs to count for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I certainly love and appreciate Brother and Sister McMullen. And he will be preaching again tonight and Thursday and Friday and Sunday of next week. I believe that our leaders and volunteers banquet is Saturday night the 3rd. If I have my dates right, we will have a list in the front for you to sign up. This is always a nice time for the church, and it will be $4. That's half price, half what they charge, and it'll just be a good time for fellowship, and everybody is invited. This is not just for a select few. This is for everybody in this church, and if you've been there before, you've had a good time. So we will have a sign-up sheet so we know how many to prepare for at Hodel's Olive Drive. Once again, to all of you that are here, we say welcome to the house of the Lord. And we have had a good time. We've been in church. We've been in service. And we've had a great time. We've heard some good preaching. Not any better than we've heard here. But that's good. Amen. The word of the Lord has been so rich. So good to see all of you here today that are here. Amen. If you're not here yet, you need to get here. Amen. Get your mind with your body. Hello. And get to church. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would care to turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 13 and verse number 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. Hosea chapter 13, verse number 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. The reason it will come upon him that he is bound up in iniquity, his sin is hid. He is an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Let's pray. Savior, we come before the throne of grace today knowing that you're able to take words that you have inspired and had written and restored for us and take them today and make them new and fresh to our hearts, anointing our ears and hearts to receive of you. And I pray that you'll bring to us what the will of God is for this service today. Cause our hearts to be in tune with your word and bring to us the victorious message of Calvary afresh and anew, the salvation of our soul afresh and anew, and the reason for being. We pray and ask these things in the wonderful name of the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I really have no title that would be an astounding title for this lesson, other than just giving birth in the church. For the church, of course, is a place where birth is often and should be often. The scripture refers to an experience with God not as a signing ceremony, but as a place where you are born. The Bible refers to a church as a place where you don't gather around in conference and committees and try to discover the Word, but it's a place where the Word is preached. And the Word being preached plants a seed, and that seed being conceived in you gives birth of something that is potentially the most valuable thing you will ever experience or have in your entire lifetime. The place of birth is attended by those who enjoy seeing babies born. We have mothers in this building that if a baby was being born this morning, they would be there. They like babies being born. They like to be around them, and some of their children are growing up to be much like them. They like the birthing center. In fact, one of our mothers was around so much they hired her in the birthing center for a while, and she liked it. And there's something beautiful about the miracle of birth. It's tragic today that our world has progressed to such a place where abortion is so cheap and thought of so lightly. Over 1 million babies have not the opportunity today because of this last year since January 1st. Their life was snuffed out early, maybe closer to 2 million if we really knew all of the facts. But babies, before they ever had a chance to breathe or a chance to serve, a chance to open their heart, their life was taken because people do not value life any longer. People are more concerned about themselves than they are for life. And the day that we live in today, it is, of course, frightening on the human side to see where we are going. I just briefly want to refer to the debate that we went to a week or so ago, where the evolutionist and the creationist were joined together. And it was a marvel to me, and it still astounds me that the evolutionist is wanting to join with the creationist because they see a greater threat than creationism. They see humanism as a greater threat to them. The reason that humanism is a greater threat to the evolutionist than they really would like to admit is that they know the humanists believe that they have evolved themselves and they can do for themselves what nothing else can do. And the humanist believes that you are a God within yourself. And the evolutionist knows that there was an outside force that brought us here. They just happen to believe it was the evolutionary process, whatever that is. And the creationists believe that it is God. The humanist, they believe that they are self-sufficient. And, of course, if you looked at the beginning of man's time in the Tower of Babel, you'll know that they set out to do something and God himself said they would have accomplished it. The Word says they would have accomplished it. Man has a lot of power. When they start using that power, they can do things, and they are doing things. They've gone to the moon. They've done things, and I don't want to get into all that they have done today, but man has done an awful lot. And the evolutionists are whipped. They know their ideas are lost, but there is a movement that is becoming a powerful religion in America called humanism. But I want to remind you today that in the house of God there is still a beginning. There is still a birth that takes place. And I say at the outset of this Bible lesson this morning, it needs to take place afresh and anew in this place today. I want to preach to you just a little bit. I won't go into the length of Ephraim and tell you all that's there. The Bible just merely said that Ephraim is bound up in iniquity, tied up. Achan was a man that was tied up in his iniquity. When he was brought before Joshua, he had sin in his life. He could not lift his hand. He could not lift his voice. He could not break through. Sometimes all the iniquity that you have to bind you up is the sin of omission. Not necessarily the sin of commission or the act or the deed of sin, but many times just the sin of omission. The Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It didn't say that he did wrong. It didn't say that he went and got drunk, trifled on his wife, murdered, or done anything. It just said he knew to do something and did not do it. And that sometimes can bind us up. I am so thankful for the Word of God that knows how to come to our spirit and our heart and expose us and cause us to realize that we need something in the inside of us that man cannot give. I don't care what the humanists say. We did not get to where we are by ourselves. I believe everything is in the plan of God and in the mind of God. We have not arrived in 1994 without God allowing things to happen. When will he stop it? I don't know. When will it be that man travels beyond into the heavenly orbs and visits the creation of God, that somewhere God will say, that is enough. And man will realize they have stepped over a line with God. That I don't want to spend my time there today. I want to spend my time with you right where you are. Ephraim is bound up with iniquity. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he shall not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. When we get to the place where church has moved into such a place of, well, we have arrived attitude, and we are failing to remember the down and out and cursed and destroyed and cast off parts of our society that needs God. We fail to exist and do what God wants us to do as a church. We can never get so holy that all we want in this place is what looks like us, acts like us, and talks like us. Hallelujah. You get to the place where you cannot stay around, where births are given and births are being brought forth. It's because you sometimes don't want to go through the travail and the agony of a birth. Hallelujah. Many churches disintegrate and fall apart because they have become so perfect. perfect or so right and so clean that they will not touch somebody that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank God that He brings us visitors every morning. And I thank God for you here today in this building that have visited us and are visiting us. God has brought you here. Hallelujah. I said God has brought you here. We don't come to you with a circus today. We don't come to you with great words of oratory. We come to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And if we ever forget that's what draws people, we will cease to be a church. Hear me, church. Ephraim got to the place where he could not stay long at the breaking forth of children. Our altar should not end until everybody that has sought the Holy Ghost has received the Holy Ghost or have quit for the night. Some can't stand the birthing room. The cries make them nervous. The screaming. I've been there to pray for some of you. That moment, the miraculous giving of life from your womb. Heard in rooms nearby the screams of those that were giving birth. Not everybody can handle that. I understand that. It's always the fear of something going wrong. But let me just take it today a little bit farther. A birth is referred to as a beginning, a new beginning. Some can't stand that. Ideas are born because somebody goes through the travail of rejection. Nobody accepts my idea. Nobody accepts my thought. We are in a competitive world today. Many ideas are discarded. Inventions are discarded because it was not accepted. It was brought to birth in an idea, but it was lost in competition or confusion or failure of a lot of things, mainly capital, to get it out to the people. The Lord did not ask us to put a lot of money behind His idea. He just merely said that if you will travail, I will bring to birth. If you will understand the thought and the idea of it, I will bring it to birth. You cannot fill anybody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot make a person, anybody, a member of the kingdom of God. I cannot choose you to be in the family of God. I like it. God designed that man would not be able to penetrate His chosen place. The reason apostolic churches can be as free as they are in spirit and worship is a lot of the flake and the make-believe cannot stand the birthing place. They won't go through the sweat of praying somebody through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. True, there's many people I would like to have given the Holy Ghost myself. It looked like they were sincere. It looked like they were doing everything right. And there's some others that have received the Holy Ghost that I didn't want them to get it. I knew that after they talked in tongues a few days, they'd be gone. You know what I'm talking about. If I was God, I would do things a little bit different, I'm sure. But thank God I'm not God, and you all ought to say amen. Because God knows what He's doing. A sinner that's not worthy of heaven can receive the Holy Ghost because God, in His mercy, says, I'm going to be just when it comes to the great white throne judgment. And when somebody is cast into hell, yes, I still believe in hell. There still is an eternal place of punishing and punishment. When God casts somebody into hell, He will be just and right. Nobody will be able to stand before Him and say, you didn't give me a chance. Nobody will ever be able to stand before Him and say, it wasn't right. I was here or I was there. God will give the Holy Ghost to anybody that believes Him. Anybody that obeys Him. Anybody that will do what His Word says. I don't care who you are or how much you've been a sinner in your lifetime. In fact, the greater sinner you was, sometimes the better Christian you can make. And sometimes years have passed and some of us have forgot how much of a sinner we really were. In our church, there is and has been in times past. And in other churches across our fellowship, there are and now remain those that have been very wicked, sinful individuals. Drunkards. Sloppy drunkards. Sinners. Prostitutes. Druggies. Yes, even murderers have sat in our churches because God in His infinite wisdom and mercy and compassion and great love wherewith He has loved us reached down to where we were and picked us up out of a world of sin and elevated us to a place in Him. Don't you ever get to thinking you're something. Don't you ever get to thinking you're anything more than what you are. God saved you from being a sinner and elevated you to a place of position with Him as His Son, as His children. I'm glad I belong to Jesus today. Hallelujah. Some cannot stay long where the breaking forth of children is. They don't understand it. They're not comfortable with it. They can't go through the travail of it. They can't do it. Psalm 7 and 14. Behold, He travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. You're going to live something that you will bring a birth. You're going to live a way that will bring forth a birth. It doesn't matter whether you're in the house of God or the worst of sinners. You're going to give birth to something in your soul that when it rises to fruition and maturity, you're going to look at it and wish it would have died before it was born. I have seen individuals who rebelled against God, who traveled in their little life pathway thinking they had arrived until one day what they gave birth to became an adult and they had to live with that conscience of that. Let me read it to you again from the book of Psalms. Behold, He travaileth with iniquity. A sinner doesn't get by. A sinner has sleepless nights. A sinner cries. A sinner says, I'll never do that again. A sinner says, I refuse to go back down that road. But come Friday or Saturday night, they're right back in the same old rut. You're going to give birth to something. Why not give birth in the Holy Ghost? Why not give birth to travail in the Holy Ghost? Man that doesn't understand what it is to be morally clean, a man that doesn't understand what it is to do right, will somewhere, when that is born in him and matures, will hate it when he comes to his cirrhosis of the liver days, when he comes to the diseases of this society day. Inside of him, he'll weep and he'll cry because of the results of that. Let me read it again. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. You're not going to run from giving forth and giving a birth. You're not going to be able to run and get away from it. The Lord said, though you make your bed in hell, I'm going to be there. Try to get away from God. Try to run from Him. You can't get away from Him. Huh? Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. How many backsliders have said, I know where I need to be, but something in me I can't. Their misery shows on their faces. Sin reeks in their life. And they say, I cannot. And yet when they say they cannot, they're giving birth themselves to a future that they cannot stand to live with. I have heard this remark until I am so tired of it. Somebody says, well, I can't pray. Honey, you better learn to pray. For if you don't learn to pray and learn in the times of your struggles and temptations, yes, even in your failures, if you don't learn to pray, you'll never give birth to anything but iniquity and sorrow and confusion and falsehood. And when it arrives on the scene, friend of mine, you'll never get away from it or never be able to shake it until you can get it back under the blood somewhere. Isaiah chapter 33, ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of the lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Ephraim, I'll tell you why you don't want to stick around when somebody's being born again. Ephraim, I'll tell you why you linger at the back of the church or in the lobbies during church or the parking lot during church. I'll tell you, Ephraim, I'll tell you why you don't want to see somebody born again, because you know what it does on the inside of you. I'd like to preach this morning to somebody that is afraid in the house of God, and the surprised look on the hypocrite's face when the preacher makes a remark and suddenly they feel like everybody is looking at them. Huh? Oh, Word of God, purge me inside. Oh, Word of God, let me know that you're standing there to give birth afresh and anew in me. Oh, Word of God, get down inside of me where that which is not right is, and get it out of me and get me underneath the flood that flows from Calvary. I thank God for His great love. I thank God for His mercy. But one day it will not be there. Sinners are afraid in the house of God. I watched a young man that I've known from a long time ago. I remember praying with him in an altar. His daddy has pastored in Arizona for years, a good man. And I prayed with him in a youth camp years ago, this boy. And I saw him at this meeting. He's still running. When it came time for the message to hit its peak and begin to work towards the altar service, he bolted. He left. He couldn't stand there. Ephraim, you can't stay long around the breaking forth of children. You can't stay long when it comes time for the feeling of birth and travail in the Spirit, because you know that on the inside of you, there's something that has already been born that you're having to live with that you don't like, but you can't shake it and you can't get out of it. You need to stay longer at the time of birth giving. Oh, there's a time in a church that's more important than anything else in all the world, and that's the preaching of God's Word, where it's in that time that a church begins to travail with the Word of God and begins to respond to the Word of God. You don't need to sit there when the Word is being preached like a bump on a log and just sit there with your minds going everywhere. You need to begin to travail, because somebody in this building needs some power that they do not have. Somebody in this building needs some victory that they do not have. Somebody in this building needs a touch of God that they do not have. And the only way they'll ever get it is when the church recognizes the power that's in the womb of the church. Honey, I don't know whether you believe this or not, but every sinner in this building can have the Holy Ghost before this day is over. There is a giving birth in the house of God that is more important.
you wear or what you did yesterday or what somebody else did yesterday. We need to give birth in Zion. Oh, hallelujah. We didn't just come to church. We need to quit playing church. We need to recognize, yes, God saved us a long time ago, but we're here to give birth to somebody else. My daddy received the Holy Ghost in 1917. If I wanted to sit back and say, oh, we've been in this and around this and all of our life, that doesn't bring no glory to God unless you can have strength to give to birth. I really believe this man has preached some things to us that will bring some new birth to us and some new life to us. I'm with you. As pastor of this church, I'm behind you. Preach the word to us. Do something to me. Do something to me. Don't you leave when the preaching of the word of God is going forth. Don't you walk out of those doors when preaching is going forth. Ephraim is bound up in iniquity and his sin is hid. He cannot stay long. The breaking forth of children. Oh God, give us birth in our altars. Give us birth in our altars. Isaiah 66, a very common scripture. 7th verse, chapter 66. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And oh, the inherent meaning of that scripture has to do with Israel. For yet one day in the future, there's going to be a time when Israel will almost come to total fruition in one day. Not quite there, but it's happening. Almost in one day, it will become a leader and a force in our world, making an allegiance and covenant with the Antichrist. And that is the inherent meaning there about Israel. But there's something deeper in that. Verse 9 says, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? If there's too many Ephraims around, God cannot bring forth. God is merely our father, but the church is our mother, and we are the ones that need to travail in birth. And if we have travailed in birth, we can come to a service, and he can hear about what happens. Those of you that know, do know. Those of you that don't know, hang around, talk to daddy and mama. You will know. But something has to take place before there is a birth. There has to be a joining together of two factions or two people before there is a birth. When this church recognizes that we can join together with God Almighty in every service, there can be a conception. Oh, hallelujah. And in the womb of the church is born a hunger that overrides tradition. That overrides anything in our life. I want to give birth. I don't want a church just because it has everything. We have everything we could ever ask for. It'd be nice as a human to look at it and say, you have arrived, First Pentecostal Church, and I'm here to preach to you that we're on a brand new day. We have a brand new opportunity. There's somebody in this building today that needs what we had in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. We cannot live on yesterday. Every day we must bring forth. Ephraim could not stay because of the travail. You know what's been happening? We have been travailing in the Spirit. Some of you have already picked up the burden of it, and you're moving with it. God, we want something in the Holy Ghost. Sister Jamie, I appreciated your testimony. Inside, I felt your heartbeat. We want to be right. I don't know of one thing she's done. I don't know of one person she's offended. I mean that. And she said, if I've done anything, forgive me. You know what's happening? Somewhere in the heart of our young married couples needs to be born a spirit of, I don't care what happened way back there. And I'm not worried about how God's going to take care of that. I want right now. now that conceive in my birth this church and the future of this church and where we're going and what we're going to do. Ephraim could not stay when the church began to travail. Ephraim cannot stay when those begin to pray and move on with God. They'll pick and make fun and fight and confuse. But God said, I'll bring to birth. I'll bring to birth. I promise you, I'll bring to birth. You know what causes the church not to bring to birth? 66th chapter of Isaiah, the 9th verse, the Lord said, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut up the womb? I believe visitors are coming. Every service, there's visitors at this place. Some of it we're reaping where we have not sown. Some of it's from bus ministry, phone calls, personal evangelism. And some, the Spirit of God is just drawing, because in the hearts of some is a hunger to conceive and give birth in the will of God. Oh, Savior, bring to birth. Don't shut up our womb. Don't shut up the womb of the church. For those of you that may not have been around the Word of God very long, let me just stop for a moment and remind you of some remarks that I made at the outset of this Bible lesson today. The church is like a mother. It has a womb. Like a mother, it gives birth. That's why the scripture talks about being born again, because you cannot crawl back into your mother's womb when you're old and be born again, but you can get into the womb of the church and you can feel the travail of a hungry mother that says, I want to see somebody get the Holy Ghost. I want to see somebody be born again. I want to see some drug addict off of his drugs, his veins flowing free, his mind thinking free. Oh, friend of mine, it happens in an old-fashioned altar. It happens in a church that has a hunger for birth. It happens in a church where men don't stand in the parking lot or the vestibule. It happens where men say, my children are going to be in an altar. My children are going to pray. My children are going to obey the pastor. My children are going to worship God. It happens where men and women understand the power of God. Oh, there's sufficient power in this place, my friend, for you to be born again. The church is hungry to see somebody delivered, but there's some that cannot stand at the breaking forth of children. There's some even in this building right now that's already concerned about this service being over. Oh, what is he going to do? Is he going to call us to prayer again? Are we going to an altar again? I got to go. You need to go, friend, because you can't stand where the breaking forth of children is. There is interruptions to birth. The tragedy of today is spiritual abortion. Spiritual abortion. They're not my kind, preacher. They're not what I'd like to see in this church, preacher. Will the Lord bring to birth? Can He not do today in the 90s to this generation, though it be far from God, though it be full of wickedness, though it be tormented in its mind? Cannot God do the same in this generation that He did when you came to God in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s? I don't believe the power of God has diminished. I don't believe the saints of God has lost their strength, those that really know what it is. But there's some that will not stand at the breaking forth of children. They don't want to go through the travail of it. They don't want to go through the wrestling of it. You say, well, my goodness, it gets tight every once in a while. You you need to loosen it up then. The devil cannot bind a service unless you bind it. You are the only one that can give an abortion to the church. Hello? You are the only mama that can say, I don't want that to be born. And when you feel the constriction in some mothers, I'm not going to get into all of this. You'll know what I'm talking about. Some mothers cannot give birth. I watch the cow being born, and this will get it away from you, mamas. I watched a cow being born one time. And the baby was having a hard time coming to birth. And they brought a jack and a come along. I watched this. And they hooked it to the corner fence post and on to the hooves of that calf. That mother did not give birth itself. She would have died. But that farmer knew what he was doing. And he got over there and hooked that come along onto the corner fence, into the ankles, the hooves of that baby calf. And he began to winch that baby calf out of its mom. I really believe that God is doing some extra things for the church today, because He wants birth so bad. But He's not going to let you do it some other way. He's going to do it through His plan. You can't be born and speak in a strange language that is not God-given. I can't teach you how to talk in tongues. I refuse to try to show you how to talk in tongues. But I'm telling you, God gave you a liberty in worship and praise, that when you begin to say, I love you, Jesus, and begin to call on the name of the Lord from way down deep in your soul, and the church around you begins to worship, and the church around you begins to praise, and the church around you begins to exalt the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Something begins to happen, and that baby can be born. Oh, if you'll hear me, church, I'm telling you, you can shake the stubbornness of the devil. You can shake the stubbornness of a birth when you say, come on, God, help us out, Daddy. Come on, help us out, Daddy. Too many times we sit in a service and just want that service to get over with. When the Holy Ghost is saying, come on, you feel the struggle of it, and you say, my, that was a strange service. It wasn't strange. I knew exactly what was happening. The devil didn't want somebody to hear the Word of God, feel the power of God, be born again. And so he sat on every one of us, and we refused to give birth. Hello? If you could understand what I'm saying, church, when it gets tough, you need to plow. You need to dig. You need to pull. You need to travail. You need to say, God, I know you want to do something in this place. Yes, many times we cause our own abortions. No, I don't want to go through the travail of it. Ephraim, you can't stay long at the breaking forth of children. I don't want to go through the travail of it. I don't want to fight my way through. Get the revival over. Get the preacher off the floor. Get me to the restroom. Get me out of here. Ephraim! I'll tell you what's wrong, Ephraim. You got something hidden down on the inside of you that when revival breaks forth, you don't want to give it up. Now I got to hurry. No nourishment can cause not to bring forth. A baby can die in the womb. Oh, God, help us. Isaiah 37:3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Oh, I'd like to see it, preacher. But I can't stay long enough for it to happen. I got things to do, places to go, people to see. Gotta get out of here. Can't pray during the week. Can't fast. Can't do anything during the week. I got too much to do. Yes. Children will come to birth, but there's no strength to bring it about. God, help your church understand what I'm saying. That somewhere when it gets into contractions and the struggle of it, there is no joy there. There is no happiness there. Sometimes there's tears. I believe, church, that we have been in that type of an atmosphere. You've come to church. We've had some good services. We've seen the power of God work. We've felt the contractions of it. But we don't give it that final push. John, the 16th chapter and the 20th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Let me tell you what happens. The world around us goes their merry way. The psalmist David said it best. Oh, when I see the prosperity of the wicked, I see all the widow, my feet come nigh unto slipping, until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord. When you understand what a church is all about, you know the struggles. They're rejoicing out there, and we come sometimes and lament and weep and travail. But the scripture said, you'll be sorrowful for a while, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is, verse 21, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Oh, hallelujah. You'll look back and say, you know, I remember the struggles, trials the church went through. But I believe this with all of my heart. We're on the brink of a move of God. We've been through a battle. Yes, we've been through several contractions. Yes, we've been through very much sorrow at times. But I believe God, in the midst of that, is wanting to bring us forth into a victory. Some don't want to stay for it. Some have even left because of the travail. Ephraim, you're bound up in iniquity. Your sin is hidden. You can't stay long at the breaking forth of children. Oh, when we as a church recognize that God has brought us to this place, one of the greatest moves, I haven't told Brother McMullen one thing that we've said, one thing that we've tried to accomplish, and he came to us and said he felt one of the greatest moves of God for us is right at our fingertips. He told us, how many times have we felt that? How many times has somebody said it to us? But if we abort this one, who knows whether we'll get another chance? It's time, church. It's time to go ahead and bring forth. It's time to let an idea come to fruition in your mind. It's time for you to understand that God is wanting to do something with the church, but it doesn't happen without a travail. Can't stay long. Can't stand the travail. Can't stand to see somebody in an altar go through the sweat. I don't want to wait on that. I don't want to pray them through. I want to go home. Honey, you'll only find the sorrow and travail of iniquity there, where you in that condition will sow and conceive chaff and bring forth stubble. It'll only be there that you yourself will travail with iniquity and conceive in mischief and bring forth falsehood. Why not travail in the
and in the Holy Ghost say, God, if you want to use me to bring victory in this church, use me. Why not stand right now and lift a hand to Jesus Christ and say, God, if you want to use me to pray, I'll pray. If you want to use me, I'll be used of you. I'll stand the travail. I'll go through the struggle. I'll go through the sorrow to see a church bring forth. To see a church bring forth. In closing, let me just take your minds to the Old Testament for a moment. Israel had become so victorious. They were involved so much. They thought they could just send the ark and it would take care of everything. When they sent the ark into the battle, there was a roar of victory so loud that the Philistines said, that's got to be the ark. But in just a few hours, that ark was taken captive, for it had no life in itself. It was merely a symbol of what should have been in the hearts of those people. Word came back. Eli, who on the inside of him was a good man, loved God, but he failed to put it in his children, failed to correct them and restrain them, the Bible said. When he heard the ark was taken, he fell over backwards and broke his neck and died. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, who was expecting a child at the time, heard that the ark was taken. It moved her into contractions and travail. And the Bible said, so much so that in birth of a son, she died. And that son was named Ichabod. You are going to travail in iniquity or in the spirit? Will you leave an Ichabod, or will you rejoice because a child of God has been born? You can travail in death, or you can travail in birth. You can travail and a baby live as Ichabod, the glory of the Lord that departed. Or you can travail in birth, and a son of God is born unto you. Lift your hands and worship the Lord.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you.
Sing it, church.
Here I am, Lord.
You will give birth.
Here I am.
You will travail. You will go through the contractions of that birth.
Through me.
You can abort
here
the birth of iniquity today. You can get rid of that birth.
Oh, here I
to a challenge of conception in the Word of God and give birth in the Spirit. And give birth in the Spirit. And give birth in the Spirit. We can no longer be lazy. We can no longer be fat. We can no longer be complacent. Deliverance needs to be now. Victory needs to be now. Transformation needs to be now. Souls need to be born. This very service today, there is some that need the Holy Ghost. While we sing, we invite you to an altar. We invite you to an altar because there is a church that will help you be born. There's a church that will bring to birth. There is a God that will not shut up the womb. We want revival. We want victory. We want deliverance. We want the Holy Ghost. We want the power. God has provided. Either sing it in worship. Either sing it in worship. Or stand there and travail in iniquity. Sing it, Brother Kevin.
Let your spirit move.
The last 3 weeks we've gone through some convulsions. We've gone through some constrictions. We've gone through some struggles and travail. It's time for you to get on the bandwagon of the church and say, I'm going with the church.
Here I am. And I give all myself.
Sounds like he's singing a solo. If you're not worshiping or praying, would you sing? Would you sing? This is a prayer unto God. Ephraim, you can go ahead and go. I know you can't stay long at the breaking point. You can go ahead and go, Ephraim. Or the church can rise and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to sing. I'm going to rejoice. As a man child is going to be born.
Would you come and pray with that?
Oh, here I am.
He needs the Holy Ghost.
Here I am.
I'm going to commit to you, God. I'm going to travail.
I give all.
While the world rejoices, I'm going to go through the struggle of a bird. While the world goes its merry way, I'm going to give travailing a chance in the church.
Lord,
oh, hallelujah.
I give all.
Is there somebody else? Is there one more in this place tonight? Is there one more that would like to come to an altar? Except you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Ephraim can't stay long at the breaking forth of children. Church that believes in the Holy Ghost and victory.
Hallelujah. Let your spirit move through me. Till there's just no more love. me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Until there's just no more to give, I want to love, love till.